Reignite on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. We know that your focus is on your business. That's why ours is on supporting you.
A lot has been said and written about the recent pre-match protest by ladies football and camogie players. The five-year legacy of Irish women's soccer players standing outside Liberty Hall wearing green t-shirts with the word respect. The letter to the government in 2021 by 62 former and current Irish women's international rugby players. The list goes on of women in sports protesting for equality, recognition and reward. And now as we emerge from the Women's World Cup and we begin to look forward to the World Athletics Championship, the UEFA's Boxing Championships, World Rowing Championships and more, we're asking if anything has fundamentally changed behind the headlines in terms of media coverage, sponsorships and funding. We'll hear shortly from the Olympians behind an initiative called Big Strong Girls, the founders of Her Sport and Peach Lean. But first, joining us live from Altitude Camp, where she's preparing for the World Championships in Budapest next month, is Ciara McGeehan, who has broken numerous Irish records and won medals at European Championships and Commonwealth Games. Ciara, thank you so much for joining us here on Reignite. First, I want you to take a listen to Irish soccer captain Katie McCabe addressing the 8,000 strong crowds on O'Connell Street on Thursday evening.
We always have wanted to inspire the next generation, whether that's given time when they come see us in Tallaght Stadium. Of course, we created history for the first time ever, reaching our first ever major tournament. But what was important for us as a team was to leave a legacy and have something for young girls to look up to and aspire to be. So yeah, I'm hoping we did the nation proud. And we just thank you so much to everybody.
Katie McCabe there. Ciara McGeehan, you've broken records, you've won your medals for Ireland. I wonder how much of that resonates there listening to Katie McCabe. You're preparing for the World Championships, a place where Ireland hasn't won a medal on the track, I think, since 1995 with Sonia O'Sullivan. How much do you think about that legacy, that responsibility to young girls and boys coming behind you?
Yeah, to be honest, I listened to that whenever she was saying it after, I never saw some clips out here, but it makes me emotional listening to that because the legacy that comes behind me is something that's so important to me myself. And it's something as well that I'm very aware of, the legacy that I have been able to have the benefit of. Whenever I look back at female sport and I look back at my own sport, I have the likes of Maeve Kyle, Mary Peters, who were women that were really striking out in a time in Ireland when women's place certainly wasn't on any sort of playing field. I can remember chatting to Maeve Kyle about people being really disgusted that she left to go and compete in the Olympics and her husband was looking after the kids at home. And those ladies paved a path for the likes of me to not even bat an eyelid at the prospect of being a professional athlete and to have dreams and aspirations of standing on a podium and hearing Aran Levein ringing through a stadium. And so I'm very aware that I want to be able, just like the rest of the girls in our sporting fields and our footballers, to leave a legacy for young girls and boys coming after us, that they know that they have a place at the table whenever it comes to sport, in particular for young girls, because that typically hasn't been a place for us for a long time. And really the momentum that's behind female sport right now is just amazing, because I draw inspiration from those girls. So their legacy is not only for the little girls coming up, it's for us women. And you know, that knock-on effect for older women in our communities too, that see, look at these women and girls going out and showing what Irish women can do, how strong we are. And you know, that's a legacy that goes far, far beyond the sporting context too. Irish women have always been known to be extremely strong. So for me, it's something that's truly important. I've always realised that my role as an athlete and as a female athlete is not solely just on the track, that I'm really hopefully paving a path for kids behind me to say, yeah, I too can be competing on a world stage. I can really strive for whatever I want to, and be that on a sporting field or in academics or anywhere else in their life. Because, you know, I go to schools and I chat to kids and some of them aren't sporty, but I'm like, you know, maybe you have a passion for music. Maybe you have a passion for the arts, or maybe you just really want to have a family and aspire to be like that. And, you know, whatever your path is in life, you can be proud of it and you can really, aim to fulfill your goals. So yeah, listening to Katie's speech, like it brought a wee lump to my throat. It's maybe something that I'll listen to before stepping out in that world stage.
Amazing. And you wear it well as a role model and really answering that call of, you know, the see it, be it that we have to constantly keep thinking about for young girls and boys and what they can aspire to. And you mentioned there this moment of momentum for women and those who pave the pathways for women like you today. It doesn't matter if it's business, sports, technology, startups, whatever it might be, that you know, women having each other's backs. In this moment, Ciara McGeehan, what more though is needed so that women are on that runway, ready to go, take flight, particularly in sports, and really realise this moment in front of us, whether it's funding, whether it's sponsorship, what more is now needed?
Yeah, it's really tough. This is a conversation that I have regularly just among my own peers whenever we're discussing the future of sport, our role as females in sport. I was only on a run this morning with I'm out in altitude, I have my coach here, my partner, my boyfriend Thomas is here with me, and my soft tissue therapist Vicky. And as we were running, Vicky was like, oh, did you realise actually, I was sitting, my sports psych had come out for a visit too. And she's like, do you realise you have a team of three women around you, Ciara? Your closest network of your team is three women. Mm-hmm. It's my coach, Helen. It's my soft tissue therapist, Vicky. And it's my sports psych, Kate. And that's something that I didn't even bat an eyelid at. That's something that I wasn't even, it was not a conscious thought. It was not, I was like, do you know what? That's a rarity, because they had this conversation and they were like, whenever they look around an athletics track, the vast majority of coaches are men. Whenever we look at roles of authority in our sport, we look at boards, the vast majority are men. And then I started having these questions. And I'm like, well, what can we do to have more women in these places? And no woman wants to be there as a token woman. That is not what we want. We want to be there of our own merit. And the women on my team are there off their merit. It wasn't a question that I have them there just because they're female. They were the best people for the job. And that's why they're in my inner circle. And what can we do to make that happen? Is it funding? Personally, I believe it's really creating those spaces for women to be able to go forward, having those spaces where women can develop as coaches and that they feel that they can belong, because there is a battle. There's a place for women at the table, but quite often they feel uncomfortable because they're made to feel like, oh, well, maybe the things that people view as like, oh, women are emotional. And I'm like, no, they're not. Do you know the strength that I get from my coach, Helen, because she cares as much about my performances I get. She might have a cry when I do well, but so will I. It doesn't make us any weaker.
And just to bring in, and I'll bring you back in, Ciara, but to give listeners just a sense of how amazing you are, you're going around breaking records all the time. This one just weeks ago, we're just going to play a quick clip.
Faith Kipyegon, 4:15 thereabouts, could be for Ciara McGeehan, smashing her national record, beating the rest, I think, in a big chase to the line.
Ciara, in terms of just why it matters, why should girls keep playing, running, being involved in sports? Because we know the statistics suggest that girls do stop, particularly in teenage years, retire out of it. Just very briefly, why does it matter?
For me, it matters because your participation in sport, be that competitive or purely for your own happiness and your enjoyment, has such a knock-on effect for your whole life. It has a huge effect on your mental health, obviously on your physical health, but really your ambition in life, I think, is really boosted by the fact that you're out and you're active and you're participating. I have friends from secondary school who had no interest in PE. They tried to avoid PE at every cost, absolutely hated it. I was the opposite. So obviously some people find it hard to resonate with me then in that context, but my closest friends now are finding a real love for exercise. I have a friend that's ran a few marathons who never would have dreamed about it in secondary school. And I look at that and think, I am so proud of you, because you're really finding a joy in something so simple. And you know, the knock-on effect in the future, there's statistics that show that mothers who exercise, their children have a much healthier outlet and output in life and an outcome in life. And, you know, it's immeasurable the amount of benefits that we can get. And we really need to try to keep our young girls in sport as much as we can.
Great. Well said, Ciara McGeehan. To bring in Niamh Tallon here in studio, founder of HerSport.ie, Ireland's only media platform dedicated to women in sport. Sharon Keegan, founder of Peachy Lane, who's on a mission to support and empower women. Both women, part of a Going for Growth programme that is amazing for female entrepreneurs, those women who want to start a business. Niamh, Ciara had started talking about some of the stats there. You started HerSport at age 24 because you saw a need, a problem. Talk us through some of the big stats that we should all be grappling with.
Yeah, so I suppose we founded HerSport because of the lack of media coverage for girls and women in sport. So just 6% of sports media coverage goes to women's sport. We knew of all the amazing results, you know, that was going on. And, you know, women from a huge range of sports. Actually, when we started, athletics was really busy that summer. I think it was Sarah Healy and Rashida Adelecki were having some fantastic results at underage level. And, you know, to see them come forward now is fantastic. And yeah, look, I was a sports fan. I knew that there were some great results there, but it was really, really hard to find them and really hard to find them in one place. So I guess I had the skill set in terms of, you know, creating a website and creating social channels to try and spread that news. And then the other thing for me is, like, there's we're talking about the dropout rates and, you know, twice as many girls are dropping out of sport as boys by the age of 14, and we want to see as many, you know, girls and women stay involved in sport as long as possible. And, you know, what Ciara has mentioned there in terms of, you know, personal and professional development, you know, that's something that sport can offer a huge amount to people. It's not just about winning. It's not just about winning and losing. It's all the skills that you can use and develop, and whether that's from social to high performance.
Because there's this amazing statistics about women in executive managerial positions. Give us that one.
Yeah, so 94% of women in executive managerial positions have a background in sport. So I think that shows the huge value that sport can offer to somebody in terms of developing those skills. So whether it's leadership, teamwork, communication, resilience, you know, resilience is huge when being able to pick yourself back up after, you know, a loss or you know, a challenge is huge. So yeah, there's a lot that can be gained from sport apart from, you know, necessarily personal bests and medals and that type of thing.
And has the World Cup proved out your assumption that there is a demand and appetite for just female-led content about women in sports? Have the eyeballs, the clicks followed in recent weeks?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I suppose it's not something that we're surprised by. We've been seeing this for, you know, the last 4 or 5 years in terms of the content that we're putting out. And, you know, we've over 160,000 people in our community in HerSport, and that are always looking for more sports, for more coverage. I got an email yesterday from someone looking to try and cover more sports, and I was like, yeah, absolutely, we'll try and do our best and cover what we can. So yeah, the World Cup obviously is bringing huge attention to women's football at the moment. Great to see so many people down to celebrate the team in Dublin when they returned, and hopefully we'll continue to see more momentum.
Sharon Keegan, to bring you in of Peachy Lane, you're all about out in the world empowering women. How do you think we capitalise now on this momentum? What more is needed?
Look, I think, you know, Ciara hit the nail on the head there when it comes to women and mothers in general. Like, obviously, it's a generational thing. If 14-year-old girls are dropping out of sport, if they can't see it and they can't be it, they need to be learning from home. And obviously, as a woman who empowers women, you know, from age 30 plus, I'm trying to get the women 30 plus out back moving again. And I think that you know, if girls as young as 14 are watching their mothers, you know, get back into movement, they don't feel as uncomfortable, you know, taking part in PE or sport. And it's not a coincidence that women at 14 years of age give up on sports. You know, it's a time in their lives where they feel uncomfortable in their skin. Their self-confidence is low. Their self-esteem is low. Their bodies are changing. And with that uncomfortable feeling comes, you know, less, you know, a pressure to not, you know, perform in you know, PE and sport. And I think it really, we need to look at mothers and really be encouraging women really to get back out and move again, and to be encouraging their daughters. But, you know, we have a fantastic momentum now. This really, really positive shift towards women in sport, been seen on the television this summer by, you know, kids as young as 8, and, you know, out talking to people over the last couple of days. The positivity seeing women on television is just beyond.
This is a great moment to bring in a group called Big Strong Girls. It was started by our Olympic medal winners, Afra Kyo and Emer Lam and a few others, on their way to a training camp. And we spoke to them earlier just to kind of understand what is it that they're trying to build, that sense of connection and the sense of really trying to do something now to give financial support to girls coming behind them.
2019 was a big year for us. It was when we were going to have to qualify for Tokyo. Off the back of 2018, the team was getting much bigger. You know, I've been involved in the team for a long time, and I think for a while there was maybe three of us. So there was never really a need for a bit of a group page or whatever it might have been. But yeah, we just wanted to create something online. Mostly it's a bit of a distraction for us in training camp, a bit of fun, you know, and it kind of just escalated from there. So we were on the bus and we started putting it together, throwing out a couple of names.
And Emer, Big Strong Girls, does this go back to kind of getting this retort, maybe growing up and training and people saying, oh, you're a big strong girsha, as they might say in Monaghan? Is that where it grew from?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I remember we were sitting on the bus and we were kind of going back and forth on what we were all going to call ourselves and what the name of Page would be. And Emily Hegarty, one of the girls, she's from Souverine, West Cork, and she was like, oh, sure, weren't we all just always called Big Strong Girls? And said it with like a real Cork accent on her. It was just something that like straight away clicked with all of us. And we were like, yeah, like each and every one of us had a memory of when we were in sport and being referred to as like a Big Strong Girl by other people in the clubs. I think as soon as it like clicked that it was something that we all had in common and something we all experienced, you're like, that's going to be the name for our page.
You decided, Afric, and everybody around you, really to lean into that. Like, there might have been generations of women before us that maybe weren't comfortable with ideas of that strength and being strong. Like, has there been lessons in all of this about, you know, being proud of your strength and how we all look and feel different in our own skin?
Definitely for me, growing up, I tried many sports and, you know, a lot of other sports, maybe hockey and basketball, were, you know, quite skill-based. And I think for me, my strength was my size. And maybe at the time, I didn't see it like that. You know, in basketball, I was obviously the tall one trying to just catching the ball over everyone's heads. And by the time I got to rowing, like, you were just put in the middle of the boat and you were just kind of told to sit there and to pull hard. And I think at the time, you know, I was probably a bit, you know, shied away from that idea. But, you know, as time has gone on, I think it's seen as a positive now, definitely, for sure. And, you know, I think you're seeing a lot more people leaning into that. And yeah, I think it's becoming definitely a more positive thing.
Emer, have you been surprised by how this concept has now developed into a brand, but also that boys are wearing logos that talk about big, strong girls?
Once we kind of started posting on it and kind of letting people know what we were doing, like, more and more people started to follow, and then more and more people were starting to call themselves Big Strong Girls. And we kind of clicked with us then that, like, we were actually kind of creating a page where people who also have the same experience as us being called Big Strong Girls growing up and could kind of attach something more positive to it, as opposed to, like, when you're younger, it's so easy to kind of take a negative connotation to being called a big strong girl when you're young and your body's changing. I don't think it was anything any of us expected.
And Afric, you've managed to create that sense of community and identity and belonging. People can buy the merch, the gear, the swag. Talk to me about what you're doing with the proceeds and the powerhouse fund now that sits behind Big Strong Girls.
Obviously, initially, we just wanted a nice rowing suit for ourselves with the logo on it. And then when we started wearing it, we were getting lots and lots of messages. We kind of spoke to Powerhouse and we said, look, why don't we open this up to the public? And, you know, generally, we thought, like, there's a couple of people in Ireland that want to buy this. But it literally exploded. They were sending orders over to universities in America. It's gone to Canada, Australia. You know, it's all over the world. We're getting tagged on, like, triathlon podiums, CrossFit gyms, people wearing the suit. So obviously that was creating a bit of revenue, and Powerhouse were like, well, look, obviously there's a cut of this here for you. We kind of thought about it and we were like, well, look, why don't we just put it into the next generation and try maybe to help out a couple of the junior girls coming up underneath us, because, you know, obviously they're facing some costs. And when we spoke to Powerhouse about that, they matched the contribution, and, you know, all of a sudden we had a bit of money to play around with. And yeah, we came up with the idea to set up a scholarship fund, and it's still really early days. We've only announced that this year's recipient, so we're hoping obviously it'll take into next year and many years to come.
Because Emer, this can be expensive. You know, you might have the ambitions and the passion and the skills, but then there is just the financial barriers. How much is that something that you have seen for other young women starting out in a sport like this?
Rowing, unfortunately, isn't like other sports where you can kind of put on some runners and there's a track there. Like, there's boats involved. There's a lot of equipment that's needed, and as well for like regattas all across Ireland. And you travel with your friends and there's overnights, but with that comes a lot of cost and like a lot of financial burden then also on the parents. So we're hoping to kind of relieve that a little bit and try and take some of those obstacles out of the way, because I think as a child, if you love a sport, money shouldn't be the reason why you can't do that.
Afric, just finally, and I'll ask the same question of you, Emer, as well, but how do you think we convert this moment where there's big momentum into real tangible change when it comes to recognition, when it comes to funding? What would you like to see happen now for women athletes across the spectrum?
Yeah, I think, look, it's different obviously in every sport, but I think it's definitely time for a level playing field in terms of funding, opportunities, facilities, just even visibility for the younger athletes coming up. I mean, we're actually quite lucky in rowing. It is quite a level playing field. You know, our regattas happen simultaneously. They happen at the same event, same crowd. You know, I think hopefully, you know, obviously off the back of the World Cup with the women's soccer team as well, you know, there's great visibility there. And I think hopefully it's time for everything else just to start levelling out.
I think being able to see role models in the day-to-day doing the sports you love on the big stage and having the same momentum and fan base behind them is makes such a huge difference for sport on all levels.
That was Olympic medal winners Afric Kyo and Emer Lam. And if you're looking up Big Strong Girls, it is spelled with a G-O-R-L-S because of the Cork accent emphasis. And you'll find some of the gear on powerhousesport.com. Ciara McGeehan, to bring you in briefly, could you maybe just listening there to the girls and listening to Niamh and Sharon here in studio, is there any one call to action, one takeaway you'd like to leave people with this morning?
Yeah, certainly for me, it's to get behind your girls, get behind your women, to get out and support them, be that from a business perspective. If you have a business, why not reach out and support some of your local teams? Even if there's a game nearby and there's a women's sports event, get out and support. You have no idea the sheer amount of difference that makes for a young person to look to the side and see we have fans here and there's people that are interested. Chat about sport around your kids and chat about all sport around your kids. If there's women's, like I was watching, I'm always keeping an eye on the LPGA, big, like got into the Tour de France this year, and I was like, we're watching the women's tour as well, we're not just watching the men's tour. Do that, have that on the television so that your kids walking about can see that women have a place at the table of sport, and that would make a huge difference.
Well said, Ciara McGeehan. Niamh Tallon of hersport.ie, the same to you, but also forecast out for us, do you think we will see yet more protests by different women in sports given the level, chronic level of funding still and coverage as you outlined earlier?
In Ireland, I'm not sure. Like, obviously, there are, you know, changes underway. And you know, as you mentioned earlier, you know, the protests in football, the letter that was written in rugby, and then obviously the more recent times, the Gaelic game. So I hope not. I hope not in Ireland. I think, you know, nation or, you know, globally that we probably will. You know, we're trying to move things forward here, but there's a lot of other countries that are facing some of the same problems. I think in the past, people have been fearful. Women have been fearful of speaking out, you know, kind of grateful for what they have been given. But now, you know, people are demanding more and they're, you know, looking at it from the approach of enough is enough. Like it's time to change things. And, you know, you have women that are, you know, paying the same memberships. You know, you're looking at the, you know, exposure on media across the board. And, you know, you just want to see that change and see the equal opportunity for girls and women in sports. So in terms of protests, I hope not. I hope that the voices are being listened to. I know in Sport Ireland, the boards of the national governing bodies, the target is 40% women on the boards this year. So, you know, that's a quota that's being brought in to try and have female voices at the table. And then I know coaching was mentioned earlier, and in respect to that, there's a lot of initiatives that Sport Ireland are running there to bring women in as well. So hopefully that will all contribute to change and that we won't be going towards protests in the future.
Sharon Keegan of Peachaline, the final word to you. Where to next? But also, what's the responsibility of our male allies and ensuring it's young boys that we're bringing along in this momentum?
Well, look, I think the World Cup has played a really integral part in the psychological shift for young people in this country, if seeing women reach a World Cup. I think that's going to have a huge impact in the next 10 years on how men see women in sport in general and how they back us women. I think it is a generational fix. And I think that, you know, as women, the quotas that you've just mentioned there, you know, as we see increased women in leadership and at board level, we will see women being backed and invested in more in sports. So, you know, it's going to take time. You know, 30 years ago when I was 8 years of age, you know, my son now is 8 years of age, looking at the women, I didn't see women in the World Cup. And, you know, I could only see Sonia Sullivan on the television. So it's a huge shift.
And your 8-year-old
right
son is a future pundit. We have a little clip from you talking to him last night. This is Liam. Take a listen.
I was at this camp. We watched the game. We all cheered for Ireland. Like, as long as you're a good team, like, you play great, like, it doesn't matter who you have on your team. Like, there's this girl called Amaya on our team. Oh, she's absolutely brilliant. She scored the winning goal in the final. We had a tournament at Toro. Absolutely brilliant she is. The women's qualified for the World Cup and the men's didn't.
Liam Hendrick, we are going to let you have the last word at 8 years of age. Thank you so much to Ciara McGeehan, Niamh Tallon, Sharon Keegan, Afra Keogh, Emer Lam, and of course now Liam Hendrick. We'll be back after these.